Our Place, episode 436.
Our Place, where anything can happen and probably will.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Our Place with me, Steve.
Me, Angie.
How are you all doing? You won't hit the clock today, those people that say they like the clock because it's stopped,
it
and I haven't
stopped.
Investigated why yet.
I've just noticed that it's stopped.
Yes, so the clock will be absent from the podcast today, but hopefully it will be back next week or next time we do it. Anyway, how are you doing? We're okay, I think, aren't we, Angie?
I think so.
And really not a lot to say this time, but Angie grabbed me by the throat and said, we really should do a podcast.
No, I didn't, actually. I didn't. I said, what are we going to talk about? I've got one little idea.
So oh, that's good.
It won't take long, but yeah.
Okay. Well, let's first of all talk about what's been going on, which is almost precisely nothing.
No, not really, is it?
No. Work, I mean, we've been busy work-wise, and it's the end of our company year. In fact, is it tomorrow, isn't it? It's the 30th, so Monday's the 1st of October, so 30th is the end of the company year, and Monday will be the beginning of the new company year, and also Emma will be with us, will have been with us for 5 years working, so she's made it. There you go. Congratulations, Emma, for putting up with us for 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that. That's really, I mean, I went to Manchester to do a demo, didn't I, and of some equipment.
You did, actually. I'd forgotten that one.
Went to Manchester to do that.
You've also been to Saffron Walden to exhibit.
Yeah, that's right.
No, it's not Saffron Walden.
No.
Waltham Abbey.
Waltham Abbey.
For some reason,
yeah.
I get those two mixed
Waltham
up.
Waltham Abbey
sure
to exhibit, yeah.
Different places.
We've been there. But not a great lot, really.
You've been out and about, really, have you?
Right. I mean, we've been home for the last few days, haven't we?
There are some more exhibitions coming up, though, again.
Yep.
So we'll have... Well...
We'll be at... on the 4th, I think it is, we'll be at Open Site, in Hampshire to do a demonstration of Cyber Eyes. So if anyone's in the area and wants to come and see Cyber Eyes, then that's a good time to do that. We'll be there. And I think on next Saturday, I'm in Enfield doing an exhibition.
Yeah.
And as I say, we've got a few more coming up. So this is all good stuff.
Now, one person needs to see you for a demo and somebody else needs you to go to Nottingham to do something. So you're in demand, but we haven't got the dates for those yet, have we?
No.
So there's still stuff to be done.
Very busy. Very busy.
Of course, there's the London Site Village.
Yep.
Which you're going.
Yep. Yeah. And we're doing one now on CAM site in Cambridge on the 15th of November.
Really?
That's been confirmed, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Jerry Gilbert, my mate.
Yeah,
Jerry.
So, yeah.
It's just us, so it's nobody
cool.
else, and
oh,
it's
very cool.
Any equipment we want to bring, but they're particularly interested in Cyber Eyes.
Yes.
So
yes.
Yeah, it's good. Good stuff. We're quite busy in the next few weeks.
I could say that.
As to other stuff, not a lot really, is there, Angie?
No, not really.
As I say, nothing special or significant has happened.
You're going to tell them about the new game you've been playing a little bit, aren't you? Just a bit of a...
Yeah, shall I do that now?
Yeah.
So, and I'll have a link to it in the show notes. I believe it's Liam Irvin who wrote the game. If I'm wrong, I apologise for that, but I think it is. But his company's called Out of Sight Games, so it's outofsightgames.com. And there is you can read all about A Hero's Call. And I got into A Hero's Call because I like Dungeons and Dragons and killing monsters and things like that. Not for real, but only on the PC, you know. You know, I like killing monsters and things. It's a kind of stress reliever for me sometimes as well. It's harmless fun. And A Hero's Call is basically you've got to save the town of Farhaven, and it's a fictional town, and you are the hero. You've come to town and you've got to carry out various quests that you get around the town. So when you go to the town, you go to the tavern and get quests, you know, and the innkeeper gives you advice, and then you go to the guards, and you can't leave the city until you've done certain quests and various things like that. So now I've got to the point where I can leave the city, and I can go and fight monsters in the mines and monsters in the graveyard and monsters in, you know, all over the place. And vampires come into it, goblins come into it, wolves come into it, bats come into it, you know, all these kind of things. And it's a 3D sound game. So if you've got headphones, it's supposed to simulate 5.1 surround sound. But I've never really done that. I'm going to have to do it with headphones sometime and actually turn on the 5.1 surround simulation and see how good it is. But I've been doing it with PC speakers. It works with Sappy or it works with NVDA. But if you want to work it with JAWS, they've got a script that you can download. And that makes it work with JAWS as well. But I find, to be honest, to close the screen reader is best because it improves performance of the game. And I'm really thoroughly enjoying it. I think I bought it for $19.99. And it is very, very complicated. And I like it because it's completely immersive. You can actually talk to your party. You can actually talk to members. You can even talk to enemies if you want. And things like that. So, you know, you can do all kinds of things with it, and the sound effects are tremendous. I mean,
you said, come here, I guess. I mean, you were going towards the duck pond.
Yes,
this duck pond.
Duck pond.
Of all things.
Yes, yes, but
duck sounds. Yes.
Duck sounds, real duck sounds, and they move as you move, don't they, Ange? Mm, so
yes.
they become closer as you get closer to them, and further as you move further from them, and you move with the arrow keys and shifted A and D to go south and to go, you know, left and right in a single direction. Mm-hmm. And things like that. And there's loads of keystrokes and fun things to do, grabbing weapons, grabbing potions, grabbing all kinds of things. And the other thing you can do, which I think is probably a little bit cheating, but I do it anyway, is before you get into a dangerous battle, you can save your game, which means if you get defeated like I did today, you can load that game again and go back in time.
Mm.
And so go back to the previous step before you got defeated, you know.
Mm.
So if, for example, you know you're coming up to a dangerous area, you can save the game before you go in there and come back to it. Of course, if you don't, you lose. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. One of my favourite games used to be Entombed, which is still available. But the sound effects on this are really, really something else. You came in today, didn't you, Ange, and you heard wolves. I was fighting wolves.
I thought that sounded quite creepy.
And they were howling, and you said creepy, didn't you? Yeah.
Yeah.
You hear ravens, and you hear the real birds, don't you?
Yes.
And you fight them, and all kinds of... It's very, very immersive, and I'll put a link on in the show notes, and if anyone wants to go on there and play it, then or at least read about it before you download it or buy it, because there isn't a trial from what I can tell. But it is a fascinating thing, very, very complex.
So what version of Windows do you need? Is it only for Windows?
Only for Windows. And apparently it works on the Mac if you've got Wine. Wine is a Windows emulator for the Mac.
Oh, okay.
Or if you boot camp,
you can
do things on that, or Fusion.
If you've got enough memory on your Mac, but you can put Windows on as well. A lot of people do that, don't they?
I mentioned Wine specifically because they got instructions on how to set it up for Wine on the website.
So what version of Windows?
You need 7, 8 or 10.
7, 8 or 10
now,
or later then.
But they say on the website that they're working on XP functionality, but I don't really see why they should.
I can't see why they should neither.
You know, it's a bit of a waste of time, to be honest.
Hmm.
But also they're saying that they're going to bring out, in the future, they're going to bring out a completely graphical version, which means that blind people and sighted people can play together.
Yeah, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
And that would be awesome, wouldn't it? So you'd be able to see the monsters and things.
I'm not really a games-ish person, but my favourite bit of that game is where you can play back the simulation of the battle when you fought for
cinematic, yeah.
It's the cinematic version of it. So you could just have all the noises, and you can turn the music off and have the noises if you want to do it that way.
So basically...
It's your choice.
Yeah, what Angie's saying is when you've completed the battle, there's a thing called cinematic playback, and you get no speech, do you, Angie?
No,
it just plays back
just
the battle as it sounds. Yeah, as if you're watching it in the cinema, you know, and it's really good.
That'd be good in 5.1 surround, I would have thought.
Yeah, well, I might later on this afternoon, I might take my Marshall London up and try them in my headphones. Be interesting, wouldn't it?
Could be very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. But it for those that like monster games and things, and you, of course, you get... And also, it's got a strong female lead, isn't it, Angie? There's a lot of female members, and they join your party, and they fight with you. They fight along with you.
Yeah.
And they, there's a swordswoman with me called Gwen, and there's another magician, a mage called Sister Alexia. Not Alexa. She's going to wake up in a minute now. Look.
Yeah, I love what you've done.
Sister Alexa.
I don't know that.
I know you don't. Sister Alexia, who is, and she's the daughter, if you like, of the Lord of the Manor, the Lord of the City, if you like. And she comes with me out of the city and she's fighting with me. And it's really good. It's very immersive. And it is a game for the blind. There are no pictures at the moment, but they tell me, they say on the web that they're going to bring out a new version which is graphical as well, and it might even gain more traction in the sighted world,
because
you can play it with joysticks as well. And it might get him a bit better market as well, which could improve it for us.
Yeah,
you know. And anyway, excellent game, and I thoroughly recommend it. Unlike Entombed, I haven't found any bugs either yet. With Entombed, I used to get crashes on certain floors, didn't I, Angie?
That's right.
Things like that. So I haven't yet found, touch wood, I haven't found any bugs in the game itself. And it's gone on as it should do, you know. It's gone on really well. And it's got noises for when you locate objects, and you can press enter if you want to pick them up, and various things like that, you know, and so on. And you can sell your inventory in the general store and all kinds of things. And when you go into the tavern, the landlord and landlady are treated like objects. So basically, you can hear their voices, you can hear them moving around, and you have to try and face them in order to talk to them. So it's really good, you know.
Yeah.
You can actually... so if, for example... Susan says things like, you know, the landlady, she says things like, come and have a bite to eat, you look exhausted, you know, and you can hear her voice. But if you stand still and just listen, she's moving around, you know, as she would do in a tavern, you know.
Mm.
So you in order to talk to Susan, you have to face her, and there is a command for turning to the nearest object that you can see. So for example, if Susan is to your left, you would press Control A to swing to the left, and then you'd walk forward fast before she moves. And then she will say something like, well met, stranger, or greetings. And once you hear her say greetings, you can then up and down arrow between responses as to what you want to say to her, you know, things like that. And what you say to her has an impact on where the game goes next. So... you can see it's really complicated, can't you? And
right,
you know,
yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah,
it's fantastic. I'm really enjoying it. Mm. I'm kind of addicted to it, aren't I, Ange?
Yes. What's the other one that you play on your iPhone sometimes that you can also play on an Apple Watch?
Time Quest.
Yes.
Time Quest. Yes.
And of course, you can play that anywhere, literally.
It's purely text, that one.
Yes.
And it takes you through a story going back and forward in time. And you've got to help this person to achieve certain tasks and things like this, who are connected to you by their pocket watch and things like that, and they can only speak to you in spirit, they're not with you in physically,
yeah.
And they guide you as to what you do. And that reminds me, I've just travelled to the mountains, so I've got another bit to go on that one now. I've got to move on that one now.
But there are times when you have to wait a while, aren't there?
Yeah, that game is real time. So,
yeah.
For example, when I wanted to travel to the mountains, I selected travel to the mountains, and it said it takes 4 hours to travel to the mountain.
Yeah.
And then you can't play the game for 4 hours.
This is good, though, isn't it?
It is, because it disciplines you.
It stops you. You can't. You have to go and do something different.
Yeah.
Now, all right, you might play another game, I guess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
It will stop you.
But, it you know, again, that's another good game, Time Quest.
Well, there are a few games out there for us on phones nowadays, aren't there? I remember years ago I always
if I can find the show note, the link to that, I'll put it on. But it's been tricky to find it because there's loads of Time Quest games.
Oh right, yeah.
I can find it on the Play Store because I purchased it.
That's right.
On the App Store, I should say, because it's an iOS game.
For Android.
Because I purchased it, but if I can find it, I'll put it on the show notes. But certainly, A Hero's Call, I'll put on the show notes. It's really, really an immersive game. It's like reading a book, but influencing the way the book goes. You know.
Yes.
I like the way you interact with people and things like that. And some people won't talk to you, and some people will answer all your questions. And you know, and they'll and different things. They'll do different things at different times. You know, like sometimes the landlady will say, "I haven't got time to talk now." You know, just as real people would, wouldn't they?
Yes.
You know, so then you have to go away and do something else. That's and come right. back to yes. her if yes. you want to know something. You know.
Yes.
And it has, for those who get lost with maps, because I'm not very good with maps either, it has beacons. So this is another one Angie said was creepy. If you turn on your beacon and you say, "I want to go back to the tavern," for example, because you've lost your way, it keeps repeating the direction you need to go. It's north.
Yes.
North. North.
I think that's great.
And it, as you walk in, and it moves, doesn't it? And it says south, south. Yeah, and as it moves in the sound stage as well.
That's right.
You know, so it goes left or right depending on where you need to go. So if you get lost, you can get back to some of the places, and you can set your own custom beacons as well. So if, for example, you know you want to get back to the graveyard, you can set a custom beacon for the graveyard, and then you can go back to the tavern, get some food, get some strength, get some whatever, and then you can beacon yourself back to the graveyard.
Yeah.
It won't teleport you back. It's not a teleporter. It will direct you back, so you have to walk. So of course you could meet monsters on the way again, couldn't you?
That's right.
You know.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a fantastic game. I highly recommend it for people that like immersive games. I've always complained, with some justification, I think, most blindness games, and if you want an example of that, the people that do these iOS games like Barnyard Games and The Farmyard, and you know, where you've got to tie horses up on the fence and things like that, these, you know, the ones that Carla has demonstrated and things
I
call those parlor games, because they last you 5 minutes and you either win or you lose, and that's the end of the game. They're kind of nice if you're just sitting around waiting, you know, just messing around. But I found these immersive games to be really good because they're different every time you go in.
Yeah.
And Entombed is the same in that respect. I always said to you, I think I said to you, didn't I, Ange, that every time I play the game at night, I seem to get more bats.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. You know, I wonder if that's programmed in.
I don't know.
Because it could easily look at the time on the clock.
Yeah, I suppose.
Couldn't it? Mm. You know. Mm. And every time I play later at night, I seem to get more bats and goblins. And every time I fight in the day, I get more animals, like, you know, things. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's scientific or anything like that, but that's what I seem to get, you know.
Very interesting.
I don't know if Brian Hartgen's listening, whether he is or not. I don't think he does listen.
No,
but Brian,
I don't think so,
but don't play A Hero's Call if you're listening, because it will frighten the life out of you. I seem to remember that Shades of Doom frightened you as well. So Hero's Call is even worse in that respect, because some of the monsters have got some evil sounds, you know. Anyway, especially with headphones as well. I think it could get you going, couldn't it?
Actually, I think one of the worst, was it Shades of Doom, the Mad Scientist? I think that's one of the worst laughs I've ever heard.
Oh, my gosh.
That is probably one of the... Because it is.
Yeah.
It really does sound mad.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah. And he moves quick, doesn't he, Ange, and things like that.
Yes. And if you happen to have headphones on or anything, then...
In fact, I had a conversation with David Greenwood years ago, didn't I, Ange? And I said, I really enjoyed the game. I said, but the monsters are blimmin' hard.
And he
said, I'm going to do a special version for you where the monsters are impossible, didn't he?
Yeah.
Really hard. So at the moment, I'm really enjoying A Hero's Call. Mm. And I tell you what, if these guys ever do it on iOS or Android, I'm in, you know. I don't care what platform I'm in, I tell you. Yeah. Because if they do it on your phone, you can do it anywhere, in the car, when you're waiting around.
This is what I was going to say. I remember saying to you years ago, you remember the PSP?
Yeah.
Of course, we couldn't use Bandy Sophie when she was along, but she had it everywhere. Yeah. And the sounds were brilliant. And I thought, you know, wouldn't it be good for blind people, not into games, really, to have a portable games machine? Well, actually... We haven't got the choices, but there are games for your phones now, aren't there?
There are
a few games.
Yeah, even for the iPhone now, there are not many 3D games left.
No, there aren't.
There used to be more, didn't there?
Are there any left?
There's one called Ear Monsters or something like
that. That's a new one, though. You've never tried that.
I've never tried it. But there aren't many. There aren't any of the Papa Sangras left and the... You know, that I used to really enjoy.
A lot of the games where you could move the phone around, they don't seem to work now, do they?
No.
The newer phone.
No, something to do with the accelerometer, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't really know why, but you can't do that.
No. So, because I thoroughly enjoyed Papa Sangre, didn't I, and Papa Sangre 2.
Yes.
I used to spin round in the living room, didn't I?
Yeah.
To move the phone around.
Yeah, which is a good thing to be standing up and playing your games.
Yeah.
So you do want games like that.
Yeah.
It's that ping pong games a bit like that, but apparently you have to watch your phone, you have to really grip it.
Or
it's fast and you could throw your phone. It's a bit risky. I've not tried that. Ping pong or anything like that. But
anyway, that's my recommendation for this week, A Hero's Call. outofsightgames.com. absolutely thoroughly recommend it. And if it is Liam or if it isn't, whoever it is, guys, thank you. Excellent game, really enjoying it. You know, it's really nice when, you know, when I've had a long day at work, and I've had a few of those recently, haven't I, and you know, busy days, really busy days at work,
intense,
and like sometimes 10 o'clock at night, and I'll get onto Hero's Call, and it's a real sort of escapism for me, you know.
That's right.
Something just for an hour or half an hour or so.
And no, folks, this doesn't mean he usually works till 10 at night. Usually after tea, we flop it. Well,
no,
we flop in front.
We watch the telly, which is a nice release for me as well.
We have a nice relaxing evening.
I don't work late unless.
Not often. Unless I've got. Have to do it a lot more, didn't we?
Yeah. But. Like, you know, sometimes just before we go to bed, sometimes if you go in the bath or whatever, don't we, Ange?
Yeah.
I'll go in and play Hero's Call now. And that gives me a kind of release as well.
Yes, that's right.
You know.
Yep.
And it's not mindless either. It takes some skill to do it because you have to, you know, fight in the direction of the monster and things like that.
Yeah.
It's good. It's really good. There you go. That's my recommendation. At least it added a bit of beef to the podcast and made it a bit longer. What did you want to talk about, Ange?
Do you remember the day I told you what my three dreams? I was testing. What was I sending you an email to test? To test you could pick it up on the Polaris, wasn't it?
Yes.
Now, so my three of my things that I'd like to do in life.
Yeah.
I think the third is the most likely, but not immediately. This would be the easiest to achieve, actually, but couldn't be done at the moment anyway. Mm. My first is to be somewhere where I could have ducks.
Mm.
That has always been my thing, always. I don't know, half a dozen would be plenty.
Mm.
And I went on about, say, 30 or 40, but really, no, half a dozen would be a nice amount. And... Three to six. The second one is to have a garden big enough to put a swing in. Well, if I was somewhere where I could have ducks, I could probably incorporate that, because I used to enjoy my garden swing. It's the thing I've missed most still all these years later. I would love that. And the third was to turn the little spare room. It's not a spare room now, it's a storeroom. We used to have it as the computer room years ago,
yeah,
didn't we?
Yeah.
The little bedroom upstairs, which has, yeah, all the stock in it.
Yeah.
To either a sitting room or a gym. I prefer sitting room, I think. In as much, I think it's a nice room. I always think it gives me a good feeling, a good vibe in there. I'm sure I've mentioned that before about that room.
Yeah.
And what I would do in there is I'd have a bed settee, so that if you wanted anyone to stay, you could. They could sleep there.
Yeah.
You have got a spare bed then.
Yeah.
Turn it into a bed, and I'd call it. Well, my joke was the she room, but I'd call it the sitting room, I think.
Yeah.
Because I think that's such a nice room, and it's wasted. The way it is now, full out of stock, it's a waste of a good room. Well, it's not a waste, because you know what I mean, though.
Yeah.
It's not,
yeah,
not a waste, because we need somewhere to put everything.
Yeah.
But it's not what I'd... or a gym. It'd be nice to... But I always think a gym upstairs could be a bit too noisy. Just treadmills can be noisy. But then if you have a nice thick carpet... Because when I was looking at treadmills for the blind, he wrote about what you... This guy wrote about what you need on a treadmill to make it usable. And he said, have a carpet to absorb it. Mm. Yeah. And that obviously helps a bit, but... You have to watch where you put them, don't you? What room they're over.
Well, yeah.
In that little room, you're over the kitchen, which that's fair enough, really. You can't really just... You won't disturb anybody as much. They'll hear you, but it wouldn't be as bad as in the living room. Because, you know, our house is quite small. It's not tiny, but it's small that you'd hear anything going on upstairs.
Yeah.
So those are the things, my things. You said you didn't have any particular dreams, didn't you?
No, I don't, really.
Well, you said your main one is a work one, that if you had the money to develop things that you'd like for people. I've never had any desires in work in that way. Never.
I think what started me on that road. I mean, I've always had that kind of in the back of my mind for years. But what started me on that road is, it's no secret. You know, we're developing a splitter box. A mix amp.
Well, you said years ago amp. You actually had it in your mind.
I did, but we are actually developing something now, and it wasn't my idea. I think Chris started on it, didn't he, Ange? Because I just said...
I don't know, because you said some people wanted one.
I did, but then Chris just started on it, didn't he? Just had a look into it without me asking him to.
Oh, right.
You know, I didn't say to him, can you have a look at building it?
Mm.
I'd never have dreamed of saying to Chris, can you build something for us to sell?
That's right. Yeah.
But suddenly he was looking into... our friend Chris, who's a great guy, and he was looking into building this splitter box, which is coming along now nicely. We're on version 4A apparently, and we finalised it. We're pretty much, so this is all good, and you'll probably hear about it in the next couple of months.
Well, we're hoping. It's been going on for some time.
We've ordered the parts to make up the last few, so we can test them, and so we're nearly there now. So, but that got me a little bit excited and thinking, well, I'm developing something that's useful to someone, you know, possibly. And this week we've had a phone call from someone who actually wants something like that, haven't we, Ange? So
you're not the first, but you've had a few people that said they'd like something like that, haven't you?
Yeah.
No, my thing, you see, if I ever did do anything like that, I want really AI toys.
Yeah.
Like I've said on the podcast.
I'd like to do all that.
Pets that are realistic. I'm not interested in, although they're useful, little boxes like that, they don't interest me as a thing, as personally, because I guess I don't want one.
What?
Well, a splitter box, because I don't want one. It doesn't interest me.
No.
I'm probably a little bit selfish in that respect, because that's just the way I roll, you know. But, you know, AI pets of all kinds that really did act like pet, like ducks that preened themselves.
Yeah.
Apparently there was a parrot made by Hasbro called Squawkers or something.
Yeah.
And it would ruffle its... Well, no, I doubt they were feathers, but it would ruffle its feathers, so-called feathers. Never saw one. When I looked to see, it doesn't look like you can buy them anymore.
Mm.
I thought, that sounds really interesting. You know, something... But this... I want something much better than... Because that would just sit where you put it. I want something much better than that. It'll... it'll come if you could train your dog, say, or to come when it call you call. But it would be, I'd like it to be like a real dog, and it might lie down for immense amount of time.
We've talked about this before on the podcast.
We might have done,
actually.
I can't remember. But anyway, all right, we won't go.
I think we have, but you know, but I understand what you're saying. Yeah, you want a random element to it.
It'll get up when it feels like it.
Yeah.
Or if you're a bit younger and you want it to interact with you more, you turn on that, or you buy the different toy or something like that in the range. I don't know, but that's. That would be interesting to see how far you could push the envelope. Toys are certainly smarter.
Yes.
Them goopies, or whatever they call them, guinea pigs, they call them goopy for some strange reason.
So, yeah.
Well, I know we tried demonstrating them, and the one went a bit weird, didn't it?
Yeah.
But they'd walk past glasses on the table. They'd run round the glasses. They'd see what they were doing.
Yeah.
They'd see things on the table.
Yeah, well, you know my other passion now, don't you, is artificial vision. Of course, you know, and I want to push the envelope to see what we can do with image/object/face recognition and things like that.
Yeah.
And it seems like I've got an ally in the Cyber Eyes guys. They seem to want the same thing.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Don't they?
Yeah.
So I think it's going to give me a great deal of pleasure working with them over the next few years if we do that, don't you?
It'd be nice to see something like, it'd be nice though to be able to see. When you're out and about, say you heard some birds in the trees, or it could
trees.
See them for you,
and
it could get you to focus your head and take a picture of them for you if you wanted.
Yeah.
So that it would know you've got to get in focus properly.
Well, we already think
decent pictures.
We already think some of this is possible because Google now recognises birds and animals.
Mm. And you only need your camera to focus, don't you?
You need
it to. You need it to tell you to focus your head in the right way.
Yes.
You know where things say...
Although...
You know, like, for instance, seeing AI, when you put it in document, it'll say bottom of what's it, not visible. All I'd like something to do is say, move your phone up a bit, move your phone to the left a bit, move your head to the left. You understand what I mean?
But it needs to know what you're focusing on.
It does.
So how do you tell it? You'd have to go into what's called animals mode or something
would,
like that.
But on seeing AI... You're on document mode.
Yeah.
So it knows what you want there, and I would like it to be a little bit more, not just say what's not visible.
My thing is, I don't want too many modes. I want to try and lose modes, and so it can automatically recognise different modes, if you like. So as you move your head around, it could say, you know, bird in front of you. Do you want to know more?
Yeah.
Is how we're looking at it at the moment. You know.
Yeah.
You know, click, and you click, and it. You know, it tells you everything about the bird it knows, whatever. I think we're not there yet, but I think a lot of this is possible.
Well, it'd be nice, like, for people who've got nest boxes, which are only at home. There's a blue tick building. Blue tick's just gone into the box.
We need cameras with better processing. I think
that's a few. The
glass is at the moment holding us back.
Yes.
Which is why they're talking. That's why Sean said that they're so much better on the Samsung gear, because it's using the phone.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
And we need glasses with really high-powered cameras.
Well, a few years, I think
it'll happen.
Better thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. Yeah. And that is kind of... I'm with you on artificial intelligence pets. Anything AI fascinates me. Mm. Real AI. I don't mean by that things that just answer. I mean Amazon Echo. I've come to realise that she's not that smart, really.
No, no.
All she's doing is answering questions. Google Assistant is smarter in that she'll answer questions contextually, you know, and things like that.
Mm.
Nobody else has got there yet, have they, with that? Only Google.
That's right.
And I think Google's image search and Google's... They are way ahead of anyone else in terms of AI, aren't they, really?
That's right.
I would say.
Yes.
And if they continue like that, it's going to be a very interesting situation when you go online with Google image search and things like that. And so we got a lot to look forward to, I think.
We have. I mean, if you think about the Joy for All pets, which are aimed more at people who can't have pets, elderly, but they say from, I can't remember, five and up, do they not say, really? Yeah. But they are aimed at... They can't stand up or do anything, but apparently the dog can turn its head, can bark as you come in.
Yeah.
And the cat can meow if you might wake it up. It can go to sleep, as it were, but it might bark or meow as you come past.
Yeah.
I don't think they're real barks, though, are they? The ones I've heard, they're not real animal sounds, so that puts me right off straight away. I don't like that. Because you could do it. But I don't want one of those anyway, because it's too limited in what it can't walk around. I mean, I prefer white clockwork or things to that anyway. You can set it running or walking. I prefer things that will move. I always have done. I've always liked moving. Other than my dolls, I always like my ordinary dolls. I liked dolls right up till I was 14. I must admit. And my little toy animals, I used to love those when I was a child, and they didn't whine, you know.
Let's face it, you've never come out of childhood, really, have you?
Well, I don't play with things like that. No, they don't. Those things don't interest me anymore.
Joking.
Yes. Those things don't.
You haven't really grown up, really, have you?
No. Well, who does?
Oh, dear.
Well, who does, really? I think if we grow up too much, it probably means we've lost passion. I don't mean to not be mature. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about to have some play ideas. I mean, I'm not one for playing games or playing things with people like that. My idea of play is totally different. I mean, I like Furbies. I think they're cute. Things like that.
Yeah.
But so you don't want to totally grow up, do you? Be mature, yes. You need to be mature to live a life independently.
Yeah, you can be childlike without being childish.
Yes.
There you go.
I don't think I'm always childlike enough, maybe, sometimes, I think. Maybe, I don't know. Well, I don't really know. I don't know about that, actually. Yeah. I suppose, I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yes.
We're rambling.
We are rambling.
Yeah.
See, people who like these reborn, these dolls, they'll even buy stuff to put in the bottles and feed them, I've discovered. So they are playing. It's grown-ups do it.
Yeah.
It's a way to play.
Nothing wrong with it.
There isn't.
Nothing wrong with it at all.
It's not my idea.
No.
It's a way to play.
It wouldn't do me any...
I would have probably loved them as a kid.
I wouldn't enjoy it, but...
I would have loved them as a child. But now I don't. I've grown away from dolls.
I never would, because I always had an aversion to children. I didn't want children. And so I wouldn't want those, if you know what I mean.
Well, they're all right, because...
Yeah, but I wouldn't want them, because I wouldn't want that kind of...
As a child, I used to like the Tiny Tears, for instance.
That kind of activity wouldn't interest me. Feeding, cleaning...
I did. I used to like that as a child. I did. And you had to change the Tiny Tears nappy would get wet because you had water.
And sooner kill goblins.
No, you see, I'm not interested in that. So I did like dolls as a child.
Yeah, yeah.
I grew out of it for whatever reason.
But we're all different, thank goodness.
We are.
You know.
I don't know why I grew out of that. I don't really know why. Because I see nothing wrong with having a doll.
No.
Or anything like that.
Don't like dolls, they give me the creeps.
Yeah, as I say, I've had some very nice dolls, and I've had favourites, and... You know, I used to make them play certain games, but now things are not clever enough for me. In that, I mean,
actually,
I guess I want a real pet, to be quite honest.
I don't suppose dolls do give me the creeps, really, because I think robots, you know, I'm not worried about humanoid robots. Some people say it would scare them.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about humanoid robots. So, for example, if you could have, I don't know, a man-sized robot guiding you around, that wouldn't bother me.
No.
I'd like that. That would be good.
Yeah.
You know, so long as you had complete control of it, that would be fine by me. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
You could have a robot about your height, you know, guide you around, and the elbow being about the right position then, and have it guide you around. That really would interest me. And that would be another thing that would interest me. Electronic guide dogs.
I would like that. I'd like it to look like a dog, though. Like something that is good to see on the that looks okay.
Yeah, because The original Mel dog, as they called it in Japan, it didn't look like a dog. It looked like a vacuum cleaner.
But it would have worked. I wouldn't mind a dog that looks... What I'd like is to be able to put a map in something, so take me.
Yeah.
I want to walk anywhere. And hopefully over the time you'd learn to go there yourself, I hope.
But
it'd be nice.
Yeah, but I'd want a multifunction robot. So, for example, read this.
Well, I can... I don't really, because I can read most of what I need to get at least the gist of it.
With Sing AI or whatever.
But books, I could, if I really want, I can get a scanner and read a book.
Yeah, I understand that. But sometimes it would be just nice, wouldn't it, to be able to say, read this and have it read. No lining phones up or anything like that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I want it done, though, all electronically. See, the reason for that is I was discussing this the other day with someone, I can't remember who, and we were talking about services like Aira as opposed to artificial intelligence, and I said I'd love to have something like Aira for going out somewhere and having a description of what's around you if your family weren't very good at describing things, so if you were in a boat you could have a description on the river or whatever, but I wouldn't want Aira for reading text. And here's why. Because my glasses generally read the gist of text and I can read within half a second, I don't want to be talking to Aira and saying, hi, how you doing? By the way, can you read this for me? Because by the time I've done that, I've read it. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, I wouldn't want Aira for that.
All I was going to say to finish is my view is that there are different tools for different things.
Yes.
And sometimes you want artificial intelligence because it's quick. Doesn't have to be accurate, but it's quick. And other times you want that extra touch you can't read it because it's not accurate or whatever and that. But so I see space for both this space. But my own general preference is to try and do it electronically first.
Yeah, it is mine, but it's because we've been brought up, and we do probably waste a lot of time like that.
Yeah, possibly, yeah.
Where time is of the essence.
Yeah.
For instance, then Marks and Spencer's box, but we got there with Envision AI.
Yeah, we did, and I was pleased about that.
Envision AI is brilliant.
It's fantastic. It's better than seeing AI.
I don't know what it's like on an iPhone, and we don't know if it's because your camera's better than the iPhone's seeing AI.
We don't. But
because we haven't got Envision AI on an iPhone.
Envision AI on my Pixel, they could have been made for each other, I tell you. It's really brilliant. Fantastic.
It really was good.
Yeah.
It seemed to decolumn, it read it properly.
Yeah.
Seeing AI, it read it in it bitty, so I wondered if it's the way it's columnized.
It could well be. Yeah, it could be that.
I don't know.
I think seeing AI just reads what it sees.
Yes.
And I think Envision AI analyzes it,
and that works so
much. Because Envision AI is slower, isn't it?
But the sort of place I'd love is like the Afton Hotel. That's a pig to find your room. I can find my way around downstairs, but getting back up...
Finding rooms and that would be ideal.
Finding the right doors to get out to upstairs. Once we was upstairs, it's great.
Yeah, finding doors and things.
Once you got the
wayfinding would be great with something like Aira,
which is good. Of course, they're doing that in places, aren't they?
Yeah.
At conventions. And you could use Aira to go for a walk.
Yeah,
couldn't you?
You could. I'm sure you could.
I'm sure you could.
Yeah.
Probably you could. You could certainly use Aira, I would think, to find you the customer services in a shop.
Yeah.
Anything like that, provided you've got a signal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So people can certainly do things.
Yeah.
They can see what's around you and they can help you.
But what's also good about something like Aira, something that Be My Eyes can't do, is Aira can bring up your location as well.
That's exactly what.
So they can actually follow you on Google Map.
Yes, they can.
I think when I was talking to Neil Barnfather, who now works for Aira, he was saying that an American lady over in Connecticut was guiding a lady through the London Underground because she was able to bring the map up.
Yes.
She's never been there.
No.
She's never been there at all.
She could do it.
But she could still do it. And that to me is exciting. Mm. That's quite good, actually.
It is good. I like things like that. There was something I was going to say about Aira and I can't remember what it was now.
I still would be a bit wary of giving it anything security wise. Although they've partnered with Intuit to do work for small businesses.
They have.
Haven't they?
For free up to 30 minutes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Intuit are sponsoring it.
Yeah.
I think that's brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to go through checks, on checks, don't they, apparently?
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of their job.
Mm.
And I should think, an IRA agent, each day you go to work, you probably have no idea what you're going to get.
No.
Because it really must be quite interesting, actually.
I mean, when we didn't have support, well, I wish we had it years ago, when we couldn't read handwritten letters and things.
I do. Really do, yeah.
Yeah.
It would have been fabulous.
Yeah. I think then, in them days, I'd have probably paid for the monthly fee for it, you know.
Yes.
So that you could have it anywhere.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm not sure whether I would now, because most of it we can get round and we've got support work.
We can get round. It depends, I think, what we want to get. I know what I was going to say about IRA. They will track with Uber. They can track your rides.
They can track your rides and tell you where the car is, can't they?
Things help you with things like that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So, I imagine with the tax in conjunction, they might not be able to track you with Stephen's taxes, but with the app, it'll tell you the car waiting. And well, even with the text you get for your car, but the app's probably better because you see it when it's coming, you've got more chance. And you can say to an IRA agent, right, I'm looking for a blue Toyota Prius registration number, because they'll give you all that in the app. Apparently.
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah.
How useful that is at night, I don't know, because it's dark. So I'm not actually don't know how useful this stuff is at night.
The camera is self-lighting.
Yes.
So it could be useful.
It could be, but you might have to get a lot closer at night.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know. It could be trickier, but at least you've got some help there to guide you a bit, maybe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But I thought of IRA for you at one point, you know, when you said you wanted to go for walks, random walks.
Yes.
You know, if you signed up for 100 minutes or something like that a month, you could go for a walk once a week or something like that. And take an IRA agent with you and, you know, have them guide you.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Certainly a thought.
Well, we did even wonder about the family plan, didn't we? But I'm not sure. See, again, I'm not sure. We wouldn't possibly use it regular until we got what we really liked it. I mean,
but you can downgrade and upgrade as you want.
Yeah,
so,
each month you can.
Yeah, so.
You could up. So you're better starting at the lower.
Yeah. Yeah.
I must admit, I'd like to be able to do, wish I could be a bit older then, but if I wasn't, say I wasn't working, I'd like to be able to go for a walk every day.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Because that's a good thing. Walking is one of the best things you can do, apparently, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's natural and it's something you can do if you know.
Yeah.
And that would be quite good.
Yeah.
I mean, all right, you can do it and put waypointers to get you back. But if you've really never been somewhere, I'm not as brave as all that. And if you get in a quiet place.
Yeah.
I'm not the bravest person on the block, you know.
Mm.
Some people do anything for an adventure and they're quite happy to do that.
Mm. But there you go. That's,
we're all a bit different, so yes.
We've covered a lot of topics today, certainly.
What would you like to see either, or what are your dreams?
Is that where you were going with this?
Yeah, right. Well, ultimately.
Right, yeah. Right.
Some of you must have things, and it doesn't matter how wacky they are, because without wackiness, a lot of things in the world would never have happened anyway, would they? You think about some of the things wouldn't have happened without somebody's wacky dreams. You know?
I don't know. I can't think of any examples at the moment.
No, I know. Well, I don't know. Some of the things that have happened in life, in how things have come on, and how people must be pushing the envelope to get some of the things.
That's right.
Autonomous taxis they're talking about in places, and flying taxis. All sorts.
Yeah.
There's many things that you thought a few years ago. Back in the 1800s, what we're seeing now, people, no, I can't do that.
Life's built on dreams, isn't it? That's what you're saying, yeah.
If you're thinking of 100 years back, some of what people had thought, I'd like to have this for a blind person, they'd say, you can't do that, which is true back then.
Yeah.
Can now.
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
So this is what I'm saying. Now, what would you like? Whether they be real, normal things, like some of the things that I'd like most in life are normal, actually. And actually, those are the things that are most out of reach, believe it or not, the normal stuff that I'd like in my life. The more other stuff I think is less out of reach. What I consider the techie stuff
is
not out of reach now. Some of it isn't, anyway.
No.
Some of it may be still, but some of it isn't. Yeah, so this has got a podcast a bit longer.
Absolutely, yeah. Always rely on Angie to make the podcast longer.
Well, I wouldn't always if I were you. I wouldn't.
Anyway, I think I'll run out of things to say for the moment, and I'm getting croaky now.
We've said enough. We've actually chatted for quite a while, so I think it'll do now.
Probably be about half an hour, 40 minutes.
Oh, I think it could be more like... I don't know when we started, actually.
No, I don't. I don't, but... Anyway... Yeah. With that, I think I'm going to bring it to a close.
Yes, because I need to cook my dinner.
Yeah, you need to cook my dinner, yes.
Interesting.
And I'm going to say that if you want to go and see the show notes, it's at www.ourplace-podcast.info, where you can find out all about the podcast, how you can listen to it different ways, iTunes, Stitcher, you can ring us, you can ring a number and listen to the podcast as well. And if you don't finish it, it will remember where you are if you don't block your number, which is cool. And thanks to Talking Newspaper Services for that. That's a really good one. Thanks to Jonathan. And various ways you can listen to the podcast. And you can also donate to the podcast if you want to on there, just to keep the server going and things like that. And the bandwidth and everything else. And that you can do by PayPal. So, if... you want to send me any messages or Angie, just send us a message to ourplace@comproom.co.uk. If you can either send MP3s or you can send text messages and we'll read them if they're for the podcast. Any feedback on what Angie's just said about dreams and all kinds of things, any feedback at all about the podcast, we're happy to have that too. Good and constructive, as you and yours always puts it. I don't know why they use constructive as opposed to bad, but there you go. Why constructive has to be bad, I'm not sure.
It doesn't, but you can have bad criticism and say, that's rubbish, but they don't tell you why.
Yeah.
They just say it's rubbish without giving any indication as to why it's rubbish.
Yeah. And anything to do with the podcast, we're happy to hear at ourplace@comproom.co.uk. And of course, if you want to be added to the Dropbox, let us know, and then you can just drop MP3s in there when you want to be on the podcast or talk to Angie or I. Anyway, with that, I'm going to say cheerio.
Bye from me.
Because I'm running out of puff, and we'll see you again next time.